Grace and peace to you all from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. On behalf of the staff, session, and members, I'd like to welcome you to Cook's Church. We're delighted that you're here with us to worship the Lord in experience and in truth. Friends, it's a joy to be with you this Trinity Sunday morning. And as always, I have several announcements. We'd like to congratulate. We've got a thing attached to the bulletin. We've got some congratulations we'd like to pass on. Emma McKenna Cheney, daughter of Jennifer and David Cheney, graduated from Island Lake Academy on May 26th and will be attending Columbus College of Art and Design in Columbus, Ohio this fall, where she'll be majoring in illustration. She's excited for snow and the opportunity to be immersed in art every day. So way to go, Emma. And then we've got Dalton Stroop, son of Connie and Scott Stroop and grandson of Sarah Yarborough, graduated with a master's in student affairs and administration from Appalachian State University on May 13th, 2023. He's currently in the process of interviewing for a job in the field. There are also some grandchildren of the church that are graduating, and it's all on this attachment to your bulletin. Also, on the other side of the bulletin is an invitation to our Bible school, which is coming up July 30th through August 2nd. And so you can take this and put it on your refrigerator until you find someone you think you could give it to or share the information with. So it's a great tool for us to be evangelical with, to share this good news of Jesus through the sharing of our vacation Bible school with others. So please check that out, both with the graduates of our grandchildren as well as the invitation to VBS. Today we have a sandwich making event for Roof Above right after worship. If you'd like to help and haven't told already, your help is always needed. All youth are invited to join Paige at the sandwich events today right after worship. And once the sandwiches are done, she and Clayton will be taking the youth to an escape room adventure. See Paige Benson with any questions. This Thursday, June 8th, is our community meal. Will be from 5 to 6:30, and this month's menu will be Sloppy Joe's, tater tots, slaw, and desserts. Please join us for a delicious meal and some great fellowship. Please invite friends to this. This is a great opportunity to come and enjoy fellowship with a whole variety of people from this area and enjoy a really good meal. Next Saturday is a big day for us, and we look forward to it. It's our annual Men's Antique Auto Show, which will be held in the parking lot from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. Please contact Dwight Black if you or someone you know would like to register. Our men will be out selling items for lunch, and the Presbyterian women will have baked goods to purchase. So plan to bring the whole family to this blast from the past. The rain date is the following week on the 17th, if needed. Fred's going to talk to us more about this event shortly. We need volunteers for Bible school, but we're also collecting grocery bags and old newspapers. Newspapers are harder to collect these days because not everybody takes the paper like they used to. So please, if you do, consider saving them for us here at the church. Father's Day is just around the corner, and Worship Ministry would like you to get you pictures of you and your dad, or just your dad, to show at the screen during worship on June the 18th like we did for Mother's Day. Please send or give them to Denise V. Lowe later Monday, June 12th. The beautiful flowers in our sanctuary today are in memory of Edwin Thomas Tommy Young on his birthday, June 4th, and in honor of the newest addition to the Young family, Emma Thomas Liu, born May 23rd, with love from the Young, Veed, and Boone families. Those are the announcements that I have. Before we go to Freddie, are there any announcements that need to be brought before the congregation at this time? Okay.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I just wanted to take a few minutes and say a few more words about the car show. That will be this Saturday from 8:30 till 2:30. I talked to Dolores Green, and she said the very first car show was 2002. But as you know, we didn't have a car show in 2020 because we didn't have anything in 2020. That was the year of the pandemic. So actually, this is the 20th anniversary of the car show. And Dwight Black told me that the first few years of the car show, There was a big turnout. There was a lot of cars. There was a huge amount of people here. And then as time went on, the crowd started dwindling a little bit, and it turned into a smaller show until last year. And last year, it just exploded, and there was 72 cars registered, and it was just awesome. And the men of the church, they believe that the biggest reason for this is because they actually moved the show. It was in the fall, and these car shows, they start around this time of the year, and they go all through the summer. And by fall, a lot of times, people that go to a lot of these shows have pretty much, they feel like they've seen every classic car around here, you know. So moving it to late spring was a very good strategic move. And FD, did we sell completely out of hot dogs and hamburgers? I believe we did, didn't we? I mean, they lasted till right up to the end, so y'all timed it perfect. But and the bake sale was a big event, and I believe Kelly Harper told me that the bake sale for the car show is the biggest sales event for the Presbyterian women of the whole year. So, and I think Pastor said that a lot of people show up just to buy a cake or whatever, so we'll get them here any way we can, right? So it doesn't matter. But notice, too, this is kind of subtle, but we renamed the car show this year. And from now on, this car show will be known as the car show at Shuffletown, presented by Cook's Church. So that's the new name. And that's kind of subtle, and I have a few more of these left. If somebody wants one, just see me after worship. But this name change is actually important to folks like me and Dennis, and I see a few others that grew up here in this community. It was cool to be from Shuffletown because it's a great place to live and call home. We have Mountain Island Lake, and we have the Catawba River, depending on which side of the Mountain Island Dam you're on, you know. But there's a lake here, and there we had a drag strip for 38 years, from 1958 to 1996, for hot rod enthusiasts and motorheads like me. That was just great. I was down there almost every weekend. And we had and still have a grill. And of course, we had and still have a great church. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. This church has brought us all together. And for the youth, it didn't matter if you went to West Mecklenburg or North Mecklenburg. When you came here, we were all one in the spirit, and we still are, you know. But the biggest point about the car show, getting back on task here, is what Pastor mentioned last week. He said, with this car show, we have more visitors on our property that one single day than we do any other day throughout the year. So that's big. So it's a great opportunity for us to come and give our visitors a warm smile and thank them for coming. It's an opportunity to show acts of kindness to them, buy somebody a bottle of water or whatever, and invite them to church, and just to be a witness to them of Jesus' love. Thank you, and I hope to see you next Saturday.
Let me just add one thing to that. It is a joy to see all these people coming into our church property, but they're not going to come and join our church by osmosis. If we think that just standing here and having the cars out there is going to be enough to get people to sample our church, we may be thinking wrongly. What it takes and what it has always taken, it's interesting as I read some older books now, how the data really has stayed the same throughout the many years, is that the number one reason people come to church is that someone they know and like invited them. That's the number one reason people show up. It's very rare for somebody to just wake up on a Saturday or Sunday morning, rather, and say, I want to go to church. That does happen thanks to the Holy Spirit, but it is not as prevalent as it could be. If, however, there was a community of saints that was dedicated to loving the Lord and loving neighbors as we love ourselves, then we would find ourselves getting to know the people around us. That means asking questions. How are you today is a good one. Do you have any family here in the area? You know, there's lots of things you can ask to try to kind of get a handle on where a person's coming from. But what you want to do is display very clearly that you have compassion in your heart, and a desire to let Jesus be known is the other piece of the puzzle. And then you can start asking some really good questions. This church believes in the power of prayer. Is there anything I can be praying for you this week to see happen? These are the kinds of questions that get people to aware that you care. And as Maya Angelou once said, nobody cares what you know until they know that you care. And I found that to be as maddeningly true as anything. So it does take us showing our love into the world. So let's all plan to be here next Saturday. And let's all plan on introducing ourselves to the world and inviting people to Cook's Church. And with that, I'll turn it over.
In Jesus Christ, there is a new creation.
Everything old has passed away. Everything has become new.
This newness is from God, who has reconciled us through Jesus Christ.
Rejoice and be glad. Everything has become new.
Let us pray. God of steadfast love and mercy, remind us once again that in Jesus Christ, everything has become new. Far too often, things seem as they've always been. Old habits die hard. Difficult situations linger. Failures from our past stick around. We look for your promised newness, but cannot see it. Speak to us again of your new creation. Open our eyes to its presence in our lives. Call us forth to claim this newness that we may be healed and made whole in and through Jesus Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit, who lives and reigns with you and God the Father, one God, now and forever. Amen. We worship and celebrate the Prince of Peace, who taught us to go as the Father has sent him, to do as he had done. And so now let us celebrate our mission by passing the peace of our Lord.
Something may have come loose or unplugged in here. I think that's what it is.
Confronts us with truth. We are sinners and all have fallen short of the glory of God. And yet, thankfully, that's not where the Bible leaves us with that strong sense of our fallenness. The Bible instead introduces us to Jesus Christ, who reminds us that though we are sinners, Christ has died for us. That while we were yet sinners, Christ did this amazing atoning act that we celebrate. And so we need not fear our sin. But we confess them. We confess them because God, who is faithful and just, has told us that if we confess our sins, he will forgive us and remove the stain from us. And so, as 1 John reminds us, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But that if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive us our sins and remove from us any and all unrighteousness. So in humility and in faith, let us acknowledge our sinfulness through our prayer confession found in this morning's bulletin. Almighty God, We acknowledge and confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. We have not loved you with all our heart, mind, and strength. We have not loved our neighbor as ourselves. Deepen within us our sorrow for the wrong we have done and the good we have left undone. Lord, you are full of compassion and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. There is always forgiveness with you. Restore to us the joy of your salvation. Bind up that which is broken. Give light to our minds, strength to our wills, and rest to our souls. Speak to each of us, and let your word abide with us until it has brought us in your holy will. Amen. As I said, there is great good news. The good news is that God took action. He did not want to hear the whines and moans of his people any longer. So in the fullness of time, he sent his son, Jesus Christ, in the world to atone for our sin and to reconcile us to God the Father forever. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven forever and ever. Amen. We began our study of the Apostles' Creed this morning in the Sunday school class and look forward to it continuing. Creeds are written in times of trial and distress and in times in which the belief of the church needs to be made clear. And these creedal statements that we offer up to God in our worship are exactly that. They unify us in our belief with one another, and they bring us to the awareness that Christ is Lord and Savior of our souls. So join me as we affirm our faith using the words of this ancient creed, the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated and join me in the singing of our second hymn, number 87.
Breathe on me, breath of God, fill me with life anew, that I may love what thou dost love, and do what thou wouldst do. Breathe on me, breath of God.
Invite the children to come forward for a time of learning that's just for them with Mr. Mike.
Good morning. How's everybody today?
Morning.
I want to share a story I heard this week with you guys, or a week or so ago, about a man and his daughter. She was graduating from high school. And for a present, he went out to the old shed, and the oven covered an old car. And he gave it to her. And he said, okay, now what I want you to do, I want you to take that car and you go to a used car lot and tell me what the value is of that car. So she did. She took the car and went to a used car lot. And they said, that car is worth $1,000 as it is. She said, good. Okay. So she came back and reported to her dad what the car was worth, $1,000. He said, okay, take it to a pawn shop. See what they're going to give you for it. So she said, okay. So she took the car, went down to the local pawn shop. He said, I'll give you $100 for that car. Wow. It's a big difference. He said, okay, here's what I want you to do now. I want you to take that car and go to a local car show, like we're going to have next week, to the car enthusiast, and ask him what that car is worth. So she looked up the next show, took that car down there, talked to a few folks, and presented her car. Said, what's my car worth? One of the dealers offered $100,000 for that car on the spot. You see, that car was a relic, antique, one of a kind. You can't get that car anymore. And so what he's trying to tell her is, don't always go by what your first impression of somebody's value or worth. Seek out people who know what the value and worth is at. And what I'm saying here to you guys, as you are all, we're celebrating graduate, high school graduates, college graduates. And we know y'all are not there yet, but you probably all are graduates, right, of some sort this year? Silas? Izzy? Okay, good. You're graduating from one grade to the next. But as you progress, find out what you're worth. Find out what you're good at and people who will pay you for what you're worth. God don't make no junk, okay? Everyone in God's eyes are precious. But here on earth, find out what you're worth to somebody else and share God's worth and word to them also. Okay? Let's pray. Dear God, follow us through the week. And as we have this car show next week, bless the guys and gals who bring their cars.
Bless the guys and gals who bring their cars.
And help this congregation.
And help this congregation.
To share God's will.
Share God's will.
And our love from this church.
And our love from this church.
Amen.
Amen.
We come now into time for reading and proclaiming of Scripture, and we do so, as always, beginning with a prayer for illumination. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you that you will speak to us afresh in this reading and proclaiming of your word. By the power of your Holy Spirit, come into our hearts. Silence all our doubts and our fears and our worries and our concerns so that we might be enabled to hear with joy what you would say to us today. Remove from us any concerns of our own well-being and surrender our lives to you, O Lord, so that we might hear fully what you would have us do and say. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Our Old Testament scripture is from Isaiah 6, verses 1 through 7. I'll be reading from from my Bible, the Contemporary English Version, but you can find the scriptures on page 680 in the Pew Bible. Isaiah spoke for the Lord to the people of Judah during the reign of four kings. And the scripture that I'm going to read today is a vision of the Lord in the temple. In the year that King Uzziah died, I had a vision of the Lord. He was on his throne high above, and his robe filled the temple. Flaming creatures with six wings were flying over him. They covered their faces with two of their wings, and their bodies with two more wings. They used the other two wings for flying as they shouted, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord all-powerful, the earth is filled with your glory." And as they shouted, the doorpost of the temple shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. Then I cried out, "I'm doomed. Everything I say is sinful. And so are the words of everyone around me. Yet I have seen the King, the Lord all-powerful." One of the flaming creatures flew over to me with a burning coal that it had taken from the altar with a pair of metal tongs. It touched my lips with the hot coal and said, "This has touched your lips. Your sins are forgiven. And you are no longer guilty." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Our gospel reading comes to us from the 28th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew in verses 16 through 20. I invite you to hear now the word of our Lord. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to a mountain which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always until the end of the age." I have one other scripture to read this morning. I'll be reading from Romans 8, verses 12 through 17. Hear now the word of our Lord. "So then, brothers," Paul writes, "we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, 'Abba, Father.' The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Now, as many of you already know, I served long before I was a pastor. I worked as a cook or a chef, I think, in more glorified circles you'd have called me. But I worked in the restaurant industry, and it was there that I came across a cuisine that I absolutely love to cook. And the great news is it's from right here in America. It's no crazy ingredients involved. It's Cajun cooking, which is found down there in Louisiana, where you would find a lot of Cajun food. And I fell in love with it. And they have an ingredient that's listed in their cookbooks sometimes, and if you don't know what it is, you have to kind of figure it out. They'll put down the Trinity as an ingredient list in some of your classic Cajun cookbooks. And you have to know what it means. You see, the Trinity is a classic Cajun pairing of peppers, green onions, and garlic, and celery, rather, that comprises the bulk of almost everything that they cook. They start out with this Trinity, the celery, garlic, and onions. And it's such an important piece of their cooking that when you don't have it, something's amiss. I'll never forget one time in the restaurant industry being tasked with doing the soup du jour, which was always a fun task if you had some time, but a little hair-raising if you didn't. And I decided that day early on that I was going to make a gumbo for the soup du jour. But then as the prep list got longer and longer, I realized that I didn't have as much time. So instead of doing peppers and celery and garlic and onions, I just did pepper and celery and onions. I just did the onions. And when I gave it to my executive chef to taste, he said, "Something's missing. Fix it." For which there was no easy fix, unfortunately. You can't go back and undo it. But I think in that way of describing those three wonderful ingredients as the Trinity, we get a glimpse and an insight into our own. Today being Trinity Sunday, it's important and right that we focus a little bit on what does it mean to say that God is Father, God is Son, and God is the Holy Spirit. It can be a bit of a confusing thing early on to many Christians, as the concept of threeness in one requires a bit of a stretch of the imagination. And that's an entirely good thing, because when we don't have all three elements of the Trinity working in our faith life, then our faith is just like that soup, going to be imbalanced. Something's going to be off and not quite right. We need to have all three elements working in our life in order for us to have that wonderful spiritual flavor that we all want and know that comes through our salvation. We've gotten this wrong in America at times before. We've swung wildly to different visions of God that aren't Trinitarian, and it's always come with a little bit of a cost. In the early American part of America, there was a great emphasis on God the Father, and especially on His holiness and His awesomeness. That's the era in which Cotton Mather and Jonathan Edwards were out there writing sermons like "Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God," which will scare the tar out of you if you let it. But there was this emphasis on just God the Father, His holiness, His awesomeness, His magnificence. But little talk was made of Jesus' humanity or His love or mercy or grace, and even less talk of the Holy Spirit. Well, as the centuries, as the decades wore on, as things are wont to do, there was a little bit of an overreaction. So the next iteration of American Christianity became very Jesus-centric, which is, on a normal thing, a pretty good thing. But here, it was Jesus removed from God the Father's holiness and mightiness and separated from the humility that the Holy Spirit would bring about. So it wasn't a very good iteration of Christianity. It was the era of the social gospel, in which we thought that if we all just loved Jesus, we were going to change the world, which is hopeful thinking, but depart from some decent theology, left the church in a pretty bad state. After that, there was the rise of the Spirit, as you might imagine. And then there for a while, from every telepulpit in America, you would hear about how the Spirit was going to render your sicknesses gone, was going to deliver you a debt-free home. The Spirit, the Spirit, the Spirit, we were told. But never any mention, little mention of God the Father or Jesus the Son. But this also led to a kind of an imbalanced Christianity, because Christianity is, from its onset and from the very beginning pages of its Holy Scriptures, is a Trinitarian belief system. If we open up our Bibles to the very first chapter of Genesis, what we're going to find is a threefold act of God in creation. You have the light of the wind of God blowing over the water. You have the voice of God speaking. And then you, of course, have God the Father directing. And so you have the three persons of God right there in that very initial passage of Scripture. The Trinity is not ever specifically cited. There is no verse in your Bible that you can go to where you will see God is the Father, God is the Son, and God is the Holy Spirit. There just isn't a verse like that. I heard a great analogy of the way it is. It's like sweetened iced tea. The Bible is like sweetened iced tea when it comes to the Trinity. The Trinity is already mixed in before you get it. But if you need a crystallization, there are passages that we can go to, like we just read from Matthew's Gospel. Did I read that?
Yes.
Oh, good. I'm sorry, guys. Wanted to make sure. But what we get is right there is a distillation, a crystallization, rather, of the Gospel. Of the threefold nature of God, to be baptized into the name of the Father and in the name of the Son and in the name of the Holy Spirit is the way that that works out in the Greek. And so what you've got is you've got the baptism into this Trinitarian God. But as I've said, the overemphasizing of any one particular person or aspect of God is going to lead to an imbalanced faith. It's going to lead to a faith that is wan and lacking, just like that soup was many years ago. I heard it once said from William Willimon, who is a bishop in, or was, I think he's retired now, a bishop in the United Methodist Church, that the Trinity, in the Trinity, we experience God in three ways: as something beyond us, something among us, and something within us. If that means that we couldn't, that means that we couldn't come up with a formula to create the Trinity. It just simply has to be there. And we get glimpses of this awesome Trinity in Scripture. In our Old Testament reading today, we heard about an almighty God who fills the throne room with his majesty and his voice. And it's a magnificent vision, isn't it? One in which the awesome and holy and almighty God is made known to Isaiah with the seraphs and the angels. And it's such a sumptuous scene with this revelation of God. And then do you remember how it affects Isaiah there at the end? He says, "Here I am, Lord, send me." So we've got to have in our personal faith this understanding that God is something beyond us, that God is awesome and holy and powerful in ways that don't always make sense to us, nor can we always comprehend, that God is something beyond our ability to control or even understand in his fullness. And we need that image of God to remind us on those difficult times that things have gone awry, that there is someone in charge and it's not me. And that someone who's in charge has got a long history of love and mercy and dedication to others. That we see through Jesus Christ and then through his disciples and apostles as we move forward in time. Holy, holy, holy is the God Almighty. The angels and seraphs cry out. And so God is a God of omnipotent power and able to call angels to his side. This is a wonderful and awesome vision of our holy and awesome God. This is truly God beyond us in a way that is right and fitting, that puts us in our proper spaces as creatures of an almighty creator. But then in our gospel reading today, we get God among us. And Jesus Christ did exactly that. In the fullness of time, Jesus Christ took flesh through the Virgin Mary and came and lived and dwelled among us. What a blessing that was, because while he was here, he was able to teach us so many things. And what he especially taught us was that atonement needed to be made, that while we were sinners, that there was still a God that loved us, that wanted us in the fold 100%. And that's why Jesus came. He came to give us the knowledge of God and his mercy and his love. And we also see at the end of that passage from the Gospel of Matthew that God in Christ has given us a mission to go, therefore, and make disciples, baptizing in the name, again, of the Trinity, of the God of Trinity, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So we know that God is beyond us and that God is among us. And the incarnation really points us to the fact that God chose in a particular way, in a particular time, to truly and fully enter into his creation. And entering into his creation, God was able to change the way in which the universe was. And the way it was altered forever through his incarnation. God has truly and thoroughly changed the world. And we experience that as something among us. But then there's also the reading from Romans that tells us that every time we cry out, Abba, Father, it isn't us, but it is instead the Holy Spirit crying out within us, calling out to our Father, God. It's that God that we know and trust that has made his Spirit available to us, in which we studied last week as we celebrated Pentecost. The Spirit is God within us. Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. It comes to us in 1 Corinthians, which is this reminder that God is so close to us that he's nearer to us than even our next breath, that he's that close inside of us, he's within us, and that we might think that it's us that's doing all the heavy lifting when we do good works, but what the Bible tells us is that it's the Spirit of Christ working within us, that God is within us doing all the heavy lifting. So we experience as God as something beyond us, God is something within us, and God as something among us. And that's how the Trinity works in our lives. You know, in seminary, we got to calling this thing the perichoretic union. I'll never forget. You know, theologians are kind of interesting. If they don't have a word for something, they create one. And that's why you have all these strange German words like Schadenfreude and things like that. Because there was no word. They just stuck a bunch of words together and made one. Well, perichoretic union is one of those, where it speaks to the indwelling love that exists between the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. But I've never really resonated much with that because it's dry and academic. What really got me, and I've mentioned this book before, was a book called The Shack, which had a different way of personifying the God. God comes and interacts with this main protagonist, Mac, but God is not just a whirlwind or a cloud or some being of infinite power. It's actually three individual people. It's an African-American woman, a Middle Eastern man, and an Asian woman. And they're all sitting at table having cooked a meal together, enjoying it. And the best part it is they invite Mac, the character, in to help them prepare and to enjoy the meal. And it is such a beautiful personification of the Trinity because each one of the persons has an abject and absolute love for the other. And it's a self-sacrificial love, and you can see that in their interactions. It's in the book there that the Eloisa, the one that serves as God the Father, says this: "We're not three gods, and we're not talking about one God with three attitudes, like a man who is a husband, father, and worker. I am one God, and I am three persons, and each of the three is fully and entirely one. What's important is this. If I were simply one God and one person, then you would find yourself in this creation without something wonderful, without something essential even, and I would be utterly other than I am. I am love and relationship, and all love and relationship is only possible for you because it already exists for me, within me." Here, the character gets at that deeper truth of the perichoretic union, that it is the indwelling love between the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit that spills out into this causing creation, that it is that overflowing love that sees our redemption in Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. And it's that same ongoing love that provides us ongoing life in this time and place, sustaining us as we live every day of our life. There is in the Trinity that wonderful mystery that just can't be solved. We can't plot it on an axis, boil it in a beaker, or dissect it in a lab. And yet we know it's true because we feel the truth of it every time we interact and encounter this wonderful triune God. Justo Gonzalez writes it this way: the Trinity is a mystery, not a puzzle. Love is a mystery while a crossword is a puzzle. You try to solve the puzzle, you stand in awe before a mystery. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We come now into a time of prayer as we lift up to God those prayers that weigh upon our hearts and our minds. We know this is a world that's still broken by the power of sin, and we encounter it in the bumps and scrapes of the world that we go through. And yet, what the Bible tells us, as Jesus told us in the reading from the Gospel of Matthew today, is that there will never be a time that we're alone. And so in that joining together with God, we lift up our words of prayer to Him. Join me now. Almighty and eternal God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we make these prayers to you this day, and we make them with the knowledge in our heart that you are eternally triune. You are Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. And you move and affect us in ways that are unique and special and wonderful and diagnosable for the world to see. We thank you for operating in our hearts and in our minds through the power of your Holy Spirit, and just ask that you would continue it. Enable us in the coming days and weeks to be a stronger force for your good, O Lord. Where there is wrong and injustice, allow us to set it straight. Where there is sadness, allow us to bring joy. Where there is angst, allow us to bring peace. Father God, enable us to be your very hands and feet in this, your very creation. God, we pray for those who are sick or grieving or lonely or anxious today, remembering especially before you, we pray for Steve Self, for Dale Lucky, for Sarah Justice, for Tom McClure, for Jill Griffin. And we make these prayers for all the people who are on our prayer list, including Joy Hilton and others. We pray for them, asking that you be with them. Heavenly Father, we celebrate our graduates and just pray for their success and ongoing health in the near future in their newest endeavors. Be with them all, each according to their need. We pray all these things to you, hopeful and expectant of your coming kingdom, and we make them all in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray in this fashion. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And now, having heard the word read and proclaimed, and having made our prayers of intercession and supplication, it's right and fitting to turn our attention to the giving of our tithes and offerings, remembering that God loves a cheerful giver. Let us pray. Father God, you are indeed great and awesome beyond our imagination. And yet somehow, some way, you provide for us. You are a God of providence, making sure that each has what they need. And so we thank you, God, for this providence. And as we return a portion of your blessings back, we just ask that you use this offering to bring about your will in this, your world. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. We go out into the world with the same instruction, the same commission that was given to the disciples. Go therefore and make disciples, teaching them, baptizing in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. We do this because we have a triune God that is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit that works beyond us, among us, and within us. Let us celebrate that this day. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us this day and forever. Amen.